time where Elisha comes back into the land of Israel. And the first place he comes to there is Jericho, picture of the world. And this is where oftentimes we as Christians find the difficulty. After we've come to know the Lord Jesus, and then we come back and face the world. How do we meet the world? How can we overcome? How can we bring blessing? How can we show out grace to others? So let's read then in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 19. And the men of the city said unto Elisha, Behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is not, and the ground barren. And he said, Bring me a new cruse, and put salt therein. And they brought it to him. And he went forth unto the spring of the waters, and cast the salt in there, and said, Thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. And he went up from thence unto Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city, and mocked him, and said unto him, Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back, and looked on them, and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood, and tare 42 children of them. And he went from thence to Mount Carmel, and from thence he returned to Samaria. Well, as mentioned here, I believe Jericho is a picture to us of the world. This was the very city that he had descended to and along with Elijah as they descended from Gilgal, going down and leaving Israel. And so here he comes back and starts at the very point from which he had left. And I believe this is a picture to us of the ministry of grace that can come back into the world after knowing the risen man in glory. And dear beloved young people, it's a wonderful thing to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then, oftentimes unexpectedly, we soon find out that where there is a confrontation. There is the place of the curse. Jericho was the city that had been cursed by Joshua. It was not supposed to be rebuilt. But it had been rebuilt by a man, and it cost him very much. It cost him his firstborn and also another son. It was not God's intent that this world be rebuilt as man has built it up after sin came in to destroy. But man has gone on over and over trying to make this world a happy place in spite of sin, trying to cover up sin, trying to go on and heal and to bring blessing from something that has been under the curse for a long time. This is the world that we live in. It's dressed up and made to look attractive. Lots of entertainment, lots of things here in this world that are supposed to be the source of life and blessing. And people in the world think that is life. What do they look to for their life? They go out into the world and they seek satisfaction. They think the world will bring them happiness and life. We know a secret. We know that life comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our life. Turn over to John's Gospel, chapter 5. John's Gospel, chapter 5, and verse 26. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Now turn over to the 7th chapter of John, and verse 37. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. It's beautiful to see here in this last verse we read, the double portion. It's referred to Jesus being glorified as a man in heaven, and the Spirit of God coming down. We have that portion, dear young people. We have the source of life. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have been born again. The Spirit of God indwells you. You have the well. You have in your belly, in yourself, that living water. You don't need to go out to the world to find the source of blessing. You have the source of blessing. It's interesting to think in history. I'm thinking of how in the history, in the discovery of this country, some of our pioneers went about. Cortez was one of them, I believe, who went looking for the fountain of life. I believe he must have really thought that there was a source of life here on earth. A fountain which, if you drank of it, you would live. It would give life, eternal life, or perpetual life, perhaps, here on earth. That was a denial of what we have in the New Testament. The Lord Jesus offering freely the water of life. And so Elisha is a picture of this as he comes to Jericho, that city under the curse. And the people complain to him. They say, though, the situation is pleasant. There was a lot of niceties there at Jericho. And it's called the City of Palm Trees, isn't it? And so the world does have pleasantness in it. There are many things that have not been totally ruined by the effects of sin, which are enjoyable. We are participating of it here at Lassen, in the nice weather, the nice camp, the creation, the trees, the birds, and all the good food, and all the mercies along the way of this creation. All of these things are a part of the world that haven't been totally destroyed by sin. But there's always that reminder in connection with them. I'm a farmer, and you plant the plants, and then you have to deal with disease and plagues and lack of water and rain and so on, and weeds. All these things are a part of the curse. That was what was told Adam when after he had sinned. By the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, and so on. And it was even added more to that after Cain's sin. And so it is, we live in a world under curse. There is an effort today to undo those things, and there's all kinds of green seems to be the favorite word used today in connection with nature and all, and efforts to get back this world to its original condition. Well, we don't want to find fault with those efforts, but we know that this world, the undoing of the curse, cannot be done by man alone. The undoing of the curse has already been witnessed to us by the Lord Jesus Christ, who came, and he gave plenty of witness to His power to undo the curse and to annul the effects of it and to give healing. He did it in His life here below. But where is He now? He's in heaven. He's gone up. And so it's not our portion to be working to undo the curse in that way, in unbelief in Him. How much better to be associated in Him in the coming day when He comes back and does undo that. In the meantime, beloved, we have a ministry of grace. And we can go on, yes, and minister blessing life, just like Elisha did. And in the preaching of the gospel, when a soul is saved, think of the blessing. Think of the source of life given to souls to enjoy things here, even on earth. And so the Lord Jesus here stood in the last day of the feast, and He cried, "If any man thirst." This is a gospel invitation, beautiful, used often in the gospel. And it is for us too, beloved, to remind us of the source of healing that we have. We do not go to the world for the source. We go to our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And so it was Elisha, when he went into Jericho there, he had the source. And he undid, or he healed that the waters there of the spring in Jericho. And it's interesting, we'll notice how he did that. He said, "Bring me a cruse." Let's see, I better go back and make sure I read it right. "Bring me a new cruse." "And put salt therein." So we have two things, a new cruse and salt. We like to speak of those two things. I believe the Lord gives us some helps in the New Testament. Turn to Luke 5. Verse 37. "No man putteth new wine in old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved." Together with the new garment here, we have a picture of the new life by faith in Jesus Christ. And that the old garment or the old bottle is not sufficient for it. That is, it refers to man in nature according to the flesh. It's not the joys, both the inward and the outward blessings of that come through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ cannot be contained just in our flesh, or our old Adam creature body. We need to be born again. There has to be that new bottle. There has to be that new life. People who think they can live the Christian life without being born again may go on for a little while, but the joy and the blessings of the Christian faith are too much, and they burst the bottles. And so the cruse, or the bottles here, I believe refer to our bodies being born again by faith in the Lord Jesus. New birth is necessary. And so Elisha calls for a new cruse. If you're going to carry out the ministry of grace like Elisha, you have to be born again. You have to have the new life in Christ. Otherwise, you cannot bring blessing to others. So that is the new cruise in figure. It's a wonderful thing to hear the gospel, be saved, and then have in yourself the ability to bring blessing to others. How often we can become, in practice, a drag instead of life-giving, a hindrance instead of giving blessing and life. And I know you, dear young people, want to please the Lord. It's evident in your faces. It's evident how you behave. And anybody who is born again has this desire to please God, because it comes from God. But we must remember the two things now, the new cruise and then the salt. Now, I'd like to speak a little bit about the salt. Salt is a rather perplexing figure to comprehend, I think. Maybe it's widely varied in its thought. It used to be salt is used as a preservative, and I think that is the first thought that comes out. Salt is a preservative. And I think it's been suggested that salt is a preservative in as much as it is separative power of holiness. That is, distinguishing clean from unclean. That is what the salt is. Turn over, in Matthew, we won't turn to it, but the Lord said, "Ye are the salt of the earth." He also said, "Ye are the light of the world." And the salt is that which it gives savor and character before God. As God looks down on this earth, He sees, he saw in the days of Noah, violence and corruption. But He also sees the believers here on earth. And if believers live the Christian life and distinguish right and wrong, then there's something worthwhile among us. And it is a preservative. It keeps back the judgment. Abraham prayed, interceded for Sodom. He's interceded down to 10, and in one sense, possibly even 5. Would God destroy Sodom if there were 10 righteous? Those 10 were like the salt of the earth. But there weren't. He didn't have the faith to go less than that. There must be the salt with the Christian to be a preserving effect, to bring blessing. Now turn over to Colossians a little more on this. Colossians chapter 4. Let your, verse 6, Colossians 4, 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. It doesn't say, let your speech be with salt, seasoned with grace. Let your speech be with grace, seasoned with salt. It's interesting you have these two things together here. And I believe this is where oftentimes we as Christians find it difficult where to draw the line, how to act, how to get the right combination of salt and grace. Our ministry, beloved, is grace. We need to show out grace. But it takes a little salt along with it to make it have its best effect. And so if we just only spoke of grace to everybody as we go out into the world and without the salt, then there wouldn't be the right balance. There is such a thing as going out into the world with pure salt. That is pointing out all the wrongs and calling attention to everything exactly as it should be, and it doesn't have the right effect. I think all of us have probably had this experience of trying to go help somebody and say the right thing, getting to the point and making it real plain, and so much to the effect that instead of helping, we have become a hindrance. The secret is to get the right combination of the two. Then it has the desired effect. It's necessary to point out the right principles. We must distinguish between right and wrong. This is the salt. Distinguishing the right and wrong. And if we just pass over that, then the grace does not have the desired effect. Turn to a verse in Titus. It comes to mind just now. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I suggest to you that this verse is like Elisha, applying the right amount of grace and salt in our living, in our behavior. And then what is the effect? If grace is presented in the right way, instead of teaching people licentiousness or freedom to sin, if it's presented with the salt, it will have the opposite effect. It will teach us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. It isn't the law that teaches us this anymore. How often our hearts seem to think that we need to combine a little bit of law and grace to teach that. No, I don't believe that's the right combination of things. It's the salt and the grace that would teach us to deny worldly lusts and so forth. And so I suggest to you that the salt in that way, combined with grace, will have that kind of effect. And I admit very much that I find difficulty in my own experience of how to get the right combination of those two things. And I think just like a mother in cooking in the kitchen, experience teaches these things. And some people like their food more salty, or maybe some people need it more salty than others, and so forth. And it's not the same for everybody. Some people need a little more salt. Others need a little more grace. We've noticed that in our children. They're all different. And, just a look sometimes is enough of the salt to make a person know right and wrong. How often a mother or a father has made a look where there is good communion, just a look will be enough salt of distinguishing right and wrong so that a person needs no more. The rest is grace that would teach us these things. Well, the Lord alone can help us in getting that right combination. So Elisha then has this cruise with salt. Well, in his case, I believe it was probably pretty much filled up with salt. And he went to that well, or that spring, rather, of Jericho. And he cast the salt in the spring. And they were healed. The waters were healed. The Lord Jesus has done this. This is the perspective that we should go into the world then, in as Christians. We go back into the world as messengers from the Lord Jesus with healing and blessing. We are not dependent on the world to help us. The world is not the source of power and deliverance, grace, healing, and these things. The source is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to now, in speaking of going into the world, refer to some verses in John's Gospel, chapter 17. This chapter is the prayer of the Lord Jesus for his own just before he departed into heaven. And he is preparing his disciples for the time of his absence after he went back to the Father. And he was praying for them. And so these verses in these chapters apply to us directly. And in chapter 17, let's read a few verses beginning with verse 13. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their name, that they may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Well, I believe these verses fit beautifully with our subject here of Elisha going back into the land with his ministry. So the Lord Jesus gives us a ministry here. It's that ministry of grace in going into the world with what he has given us. But there's some important principles here that must be kept or we will fall into snare. And that is the subject of sanctification. And I believe that closely goes along with the salt, the distinguishing here of right and wrong. The Lord Jesus prays for them. He was going to leave the world, but he was going to leave his own in the world. And so he prays for them that they may be kept. It is a serious thing as a Christian to go back into the world. We can't go back and be the same as we were before. There must be this sanctification. We must be separate from the world. If we are not separate from the world, we will have no power and testimony. If there is not something that distinguishes us as believers from the people in the world, what we say will not have power. For example, think of Lot, who, when he went back to his family, when God was going to judge. And he spoke to them and sought to get them to come with him and to leave. And it says it seemed as one that mocked. Why? Because his life testimony was not consistent with what he was preaching, nobody believed him. They wouldn't accept his testimony. He hadn't lived a sanctified life. He hadn't showed the distinction of separation properly. He was mixed in it too closely. Not like Abraham, who was apart on a mountain praying. And so this is where the principle of sanctification comes in. And it's so necessary. And beloved young people, as you go into the world as a Christian and face the difficulties, the contamination, the corruption, and all, if you haven't been sanctified by the Word of God, beware, be careful. Peter hadn't prayed, he wasn't sanctified, he wasn't prepared, and the night of betrayal, and he broke down in his witness and attempt to defend the Lord or to witness for the Lord, completely failed. The Word of God is that sanctifying effect. This is what we need, the Word of God. We must read it. It has that sanctifying power effect on us. Helps us distinguish holiness and unholiness. That's what sanctification is. Separating the unclean from the clean. If we are not sanctified that way through the Word of God, then our power to display the ministry of grace will be weak at best. And so the Lord mentions that here. First, he takes these disciples and says, I pray for them. That is, he's praying to take them with him out of the world. They're no longer of the world system. And just like Elisha went out of the land and identified with Elijah, and as he went up into heaven, and then he came back. This is the example of the Christian. You, believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, are not of this world. You have a separate destiny. You have a separate place of blessing. It's with Christ in glory. But he sends us back into the world. He hasn't taken us home yet. We're still here. And as we go back and meet the world, then this is the source. This is the means by which we can bring blessing, instead of the world overcoming us, we overcome the world. And John speaks about that, our faith that overcomes the world. And so we have the source of being overcomers in this. And this is why the ministry of Elisha was so much better than Elijah. Elijah couldn't go back and overcome. He failed. His ministry ended up in failure. The ministry of grace, beloved, should end up in victory, in overcoming. And by God's grace, it will end up in overcoming. The Lord is going to have all of His own in glory with Him. And so they're sent back into the world after they're sanctified through the truth. And it goes on and includes not just the disciples that were with him, but those who should believe on him through their word. And that includes us here. This ministry goes on until now. And it will go on until the Lord takes us home. So we have then Elisha going to Jericho, the world, and healing those waters, bringing healing. Now, just briefly, I'd like to comment on the next story of the going up to Bethel. In the first story, we have undoing the curse or healing the city of the curse. In the second story of at Bethel, where they insulted or made fun of, mocked Elisha, "Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head." You know, I'm a bald-headed person, and I understand a little about this. None of us by nature would like to be this way. There's not a lot of glory and admiration of a bald-headed people. But, brethren, I feel very blessed, and my blessings are not just of nature. My blessings are in Christ. And so it's a wonderful thing to have a ministry of grace that isn't just connected with this creation, the body, and so on. And so they were able to pick out a weakness or a defect, put it this way, of that servant. I believe it was Elisha. I believe he was bald-headed. Maybe Elijah was too, I don't know, but it seems like he was. And so they were able to pick out a defect in the order of the first creation. But Elisha's ministry was separate from that. Although he came bringing blessing to here on earth, where he was, the house of God. And when they mocked him, he didn't curse them because he didn't like being called a bald-headed man. The curse, and this is very uncharacteristic of his ministry, the curse was the rejection of the ministry of grace only leaves one option left. Curse. Because the curse is already on Jericho and this world. And even in the although this isn't Jericho, this is Bethel, the house of God. Bethel also was called Bethaven or the house of folly. And so it wasn't a source of blessing or a place where God could dwell. And it had been given up. They had already left Bethel, the house of God. It had its ability on nature here below on earth under Israel had failed in being a place where God could come down and dwell. Elisha is the real, brings us the real dwelling place. That's why the Lord said about himself, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will build it up again, referring to his body. The real dwelling place of God, the real Bethel now, is Christ in resurrection as risen from the dead. And that's where God can dwell. And that's the house of God today, where it is. And it's not of the first order of creation. And so the results of rejecting grace come through Elisha there in Bethel, only leaves one option, and that is to be where the curse could destroy them. Elisha did not destroy them. No. What was it destroyed? It was the she-bears. It doesn't say he ate them all up. I don't think he did. It doesn't even say he killed them all. I don't know. It's not plain. Probably not. They were torn, though. 42. The results of rejecting the heavenly ministry leaves open man vulnerable to the ruin of the lower creation that would come and destroy. And so it is today. Man lost his headship of the creation. Adam in the first creation, he lost his power. Man should have been in control of those she-bears. In the beginning it was so. But sin had come in and he had lost his position and headship. Not the headship, but he had lost his control of his headship over the creation. And so the result is the creation under man destroys him. This is the result of rejecting the ministry of grace. And so, for example, in Hebrews it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? There is no other option. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If we reject this ministry of grace through the Lord Jesus Christ, eventually, the curse is going to get you. It's going to destroy you. Very solemn. And so whenever we preach the gospel, we always preach along with it a judgment to come. We don't bring the judgment. We don't go around judging people. No, that would be wrong. Elijah did that, but not Elisha. But he warns, if you reject this ministry, this is your options. Either receive it or be destroyed under the curse. Well, brethren, this is the heavenly ministry. This is our place here in this world. May the Lord then help us to show forth the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into the marvelous light and gave us the source of blessing.